My soul. Boy, you never know what he's going to do, that's for sure. Oh, my. Hadn't God been good to us? He has. I wouldn't have missed this service for anything in the world. You say, why? I wanted to hear the preacher. And so I'm going to hear him, but I'm going to speak for him, too. Anyway, it's a joy to be with you folks. I don't know when ever I've had such a thrilling blessing as I've had this week, brother. Thank you for letting me come. I'm so glad I got better and we're able to be here. This is a joy to me. Now, I'd like for you to turn to John chapter 8 and verse 12. John chapter 8 and verse 12. And it says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the what?
World.
He that followeth me shall not walk in what?
Darkness.
But shall have the what? Light of life. And beloved, I'm glad to say tonight that we who have been saved have the light of life shining in our hearts. And now we have the opportunity to let that light shine, not only here, but around the world, wherever the gospel is being preached. We have a great, great opportunity to serve God today. And I want to serve Him the rest of my life, don't you? And I thank Florine for being my wife. She's quite a gal. Florine, would you stand up? I want them to see that I was able to pick out a good-looking wife. And you can pay me after a while. Oh, my. But it has been good. I'd like for you to look at John chapter 8 and verse 12. And there we read, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the what?
World.
You're reading? Good. He that followeth me shall not what? Good. But shall have the light of life. That's what we have tonight. And it was given to us. It was literally given to us free of charge. All we had to do to receive the light of life was to ask Jesus Christ to come into our heart. And when I did that, you know what He did? He saved me. He gave me life eternal. He gave me a job to do. And beloved, I love Him with all my heart. He's good to us, isn't He? That was a great... I don't think I ever heard missionaries do a better job than you folks did tonight. Thank you for that song, for your testimony, for your witness of what you're going to be doing on the field. And we would just rejoice in that. But during the last century, we've seen two world wars that have rocked our civilization to its very foundation. Then came the Korean War. I was in that war. And then the Vietnam War. Then Grenada. And then the Desert Storm War. Plus a multitude of smaller wars that have been fought all around the world. And for the most part, those wars were more than just who was going to be in control of a piece of real estate, but they were ideological wars battling for the controls of minds and hearts and actions of people. And you know, that hasn't changed in Christianity either. We too are battling for the souls of men today. We dare not let people slip out of our grasp without an invitation to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Are you a soul winner? If you're not, God bless you. I hope you let God have His way in your life. And at least one time a day, you tell somebody, God loves souls. And He loves you. And He loves me. And He saved me and He gave me life eternal. You know, that message, when I give it out, It just thrills people. Some of them say, oh, get away quick, you know, and I don't want to talk to you. But oh, beloved, I tell you what, God is good to us, isn't He? Amen. He really is. These are dark days because one crisis seems to follow on another until we live in such a time that the Lord must be soon coming back or disaster confronts our globe. When I look to Washington, I think it's happened there already. Disasters come. But these are dark days. Governments are corrupt. Most politicians are corrupt. Schools are corrupt. Churches, not like this one, churches have lost their enthusiasm and power. I've been in some fundamental Bible-believing Baptist churches that you wouldn't believe that they were fundamental Bible-believing Baptist churches because of the way they preached and taught, and nobody was saved. And they're just empty, hollow space in the auditoriums. It's sad. Breaks my heart. And oh, I'd preach my heart to those people. I wanted them to be saved. I'm sure that many of those people didn't know the Lord. And some may have gotten saved through the years. I'm not sure now. But I do know this one thing. We are living in dark days today. There's just one alternative. That one alternative is our churches must recover their vision of God's plan and purpose for the church and for the missionary enterprise and evangelism here at home, or else we're doomed. Oh, we need to wake up. I need to pray, God, stir my soul. Don't let me die and let people die in sin around me. Lord, help me to reach out to a lost and dying world because You, God, love people. And He loves them. Loves them so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary. And there He died. And I received Him as my Savior. And He saved me for all eternity. Bless God, I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah. I hope you all are going with me. How many of you are going? Okay, we'll get a bus going one of these days. Hopefully the Lord will come back and we'll all go up together. Boy, that'll be great. I'll get to see you, preacher. Say, hey, we're on our way. That will be wonderful. And so I'm looking forward to what God is going to do. There's just one alternative. You see, is there an alternative? One alternative. Our churches, listen to me carefully, our churches must recover their vision of God's plan for the missionary enterprise and evangelism here at home. Now, I'm not talking to you folks. I'm preaching about other churches, and some of them I preached in, and you know some of them. My church, where I was saved, under J. Frank Norris. Have any of you ever heard of that preacher? Okay. He was a great preacher. I was 13 years old. He was my pastor of Temple Baptist Church in Detroit, Michigan. And G.B. Vick, my dad's cousin, was the music director. When Dr. Norris stepped aside, he became the pastor. And that was my church. I was saved there. And God blessed. Then my dad moved to Arkansas. And we became Arkansas Hillbillies. And our pastor was another great pastor. And he stirred my soul. Now, he was a Southern Baptist. But, beloved, he was a preacher. I never heard a greater preacher. J. Harold Smith. You ever heard of him? And he preached for us. We even had him come preach for us before he died at Bio. And God bless that meeting. But let me tell you something. I've had some great preachers to raise me up. Then I went to Baptist Bible College in Springfield when it was a great college. I'm afraid it's gone today. Dr. Vick's church is gone today. Breaks my heart. Don't let the devil come in and drive you to the world to become contemporary. Oh, don't let God do that. Or the devil do that to you, not God. He doesn't do that. But our churches must recover their vision of God's plan for the missionary enterprise and evangelism here at home, that the gospel might go out and be preached in every land on this globe. Oh my, you blessed my heart tonight. I praise God. You folks do a good job. You know that. You're going to get your support quick. And I praise God for that. And the rest of you guys are going to get it too. Just get out there and get it. And let them know what God's done for you and what He's going to do for you and where you're going. And don't be ashamed, but stand there and preach and tell them what God can do for people if they'll only give their hearts to Him. There's only one way to dispel the darkness and the gloom that we're in today. Only one way. In my travels, I keep learning how gloomy and dark our churches are. People are indifferent. That's true. Pastors are frustrated. That's often true. Missionaries are concerned. That's always true. And a pastor recently asked a missionary, in one word, how would you describe the condition of the average church? You know what he said, preacher? Now, this was a missionary, but he said, bored. Isn't that sad? I'm not bored in this church, are you? Oh, this church is alive and it's going. Thank you, preacher. Thank you, but there are not many of you left. Not many. Oh, God help us. God help us. When my dad used to send me down to the basement there in Detroit when I was a kid to stoke the furnace and to shovel the coal, I'd complain. What are you complaining about now, Dick? He'd say. Well, I don't like the dark down there. You know what he'd always say to me? Well, son, turn on the light. Well, it didn't make any difference. I was still afraid. But I'd reach up that cord and I'd put it on. And then I wasn't afraid anymore. The light was on. No, beloved, Psalm 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. If this be the case, the only way to put out the darkness is to turn on the light. Amen? How do we put out the darkness, folks? Everybody say it. Turn on the light. Right. And so that's what we're to do. Christ Jesus is our Lord. He is our all in all. The Bible says the Lord is my healer, and He is. He is my provider, and He is. Missionary, He is our provider. Say it with me, missionaries. He is our provider. Did you say it? Missionary. How many missionaries are here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, you guys, help me out. The Lord is our provider. Good. Not the churches, but the Lord provides for us through the ministry of local independent Bible-believing Baptist churches. And so we praise the Lord for that. But Christ Jesus is our Lord. He's our all in all. The Bible says He's my healer. He's my provider. He's my deliverer. He is the bread of life. He is the living water that refreshes and revives. He is our shield and our buckler. He is our high tower. He is the rock of my salvation. He is the bright morning star. And beloved, He's the King of all kings. He's the Lord of all lords. And He's my Savior. Praise God. What a God He is. And I hope He's your Savior too. In my travels, I keep hearing about how dark and gloomy our churches are. And not all of them are like this one. Praise God. But people are indifferent. Pastors are often frustrated. Missionaries are deeply concerned. A pastor recently asked a missionary, in one word, now get this, in one word, would you describe the condition of the average church in our country? I don't know what you guys would say, but this is the way I described it. Bored. The average church in America. Sit there and yawn out loud or the preacher can hear them. They're not even ashamed. But praise God, I'm glad this church is alive for God. Aren't you missionaries? Amen. Amen. I am too. All right. But there's only one gloomy, dark program today to this dark assessment. The only way that we can approach the churches today and take care of the conditions that's in our churches today. As missionaries, when you get into a church like that, preach the Word. That's what the people want. That's what they need. Preach the Word. Let God know that we're on His side. Don't be afraid of shouting a little bit. Okay, I'll shut up. Okay, but listen to this. John chapter 1, verse 17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of," what? "Lights, within whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." My translation of the above verse is this: God is not shady, but God is always the same. And He's still on His throne, and He's still calling the shots, and we are to follow Him and obey Him in reaching out to a lost and dying world from Nicaragua or wherever you're going. Let them know that God loves who? People. And we're to tell them of His wonderful saving grace. So regardless of where or when we live, God is always the same. When we turn on the light, people will see Jesus. God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't care more about the people of the good old days when the gospel was freely preached and all the preachers got up and shouted and preached and let people know that they were to love God. He doesn't care more about the people of Finney's day when they did that, or Moody's time, or Paul's period, than He does the people of our time. God still loves people. Amen? And we're to love them too. And we're to reach out to them and tell them of His wonderful saving grace. If we turn on the light as the preachers of old did, we will have revival. Darkness will be dispelled. And beloved, I want you to know this one thing. God is unity. Did you get that? Why? Because He is light. And light is unity. How many colors does it take to make up light? Is it just one? I just see one up there. No, it's more than that. How many colors does it take to make up light? How many? All of them. I'm not so sure about that. I've heard it was eight. I don't know. But it takes all of those eight, or all of those colors that are in it, to make light. Think about that. Now, that's what God did, and that's what He's able to do today. But the Bible says in Romans 15:1, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please," who? "Ourselves." We're not to do that. This means that we ought to accept the general weakness of the people or of other people. In other words, if the man that lives next door to you is a drunkard, don't accept that drunkardness, but go over and love him and tell him of the saving grace. One of the greatest joys I ever had was to preach at a mission in downtown Nashville where I pastor, and I preach there often, and to see those old slobbering drunks to bow before God and ask Him, "Oh Lord, I'm such a sinner. Would You save me?" You know what? They'd get up from there a new creature in Christ, because God loves people. Would you say that with me, please? God loves people. Do you really believe it? Oh, some of you do. They said amen. Do you really believe it? Amen. Yes, now you're getting it. Oh, listen, if we're going to be effective in reaching this community, in reaching this county, in reaching this state, this country, for the world, for Christ, and the world for Christ, as He has commanded us, we're going to have to go for and confess our sin and take Him by the hand and step from the darkness of the world into the glorious light of Jesus Christ. We're going to have to serve Him, folks. We're going to have to put Him first in our lives. Well, it's a place of carnality, no doubt about it. But Jesus Christ is indeed the light of the world. We have a short message tonight. a short message for you to think about Christ, for you to consider, if you haven't already, to receive Christ as your personal Savior. Let me tell you something. If you'll turn to Christ and let Him forgive you of all your sins, you know what He'll do? He'll save you. He'll give you life eternal. He'll give you joy unspeakable. He'll give you something worth living for and somebody worth dying for. Jesus Christ. I wonder tonight, how many of you here do know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? No doubt about it. Oh, just about everybody. Okay, thank you. Is there one here that's never been saved? Or maybe you're not sure of it, and you'd like for us to pray for you? I'll pray for you, I promise. Would you just quietly slip that hand up? Yes, thank you. Yes, thank you. God bless you. Is there someone else? God bless you. Thank you so much. Every head bowed. Oh, Father, how we love you.